Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get a $100 free bet. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by the SGPN merch store. Use promo code NFCBEAST for 15% off, which is active until the next time the Eagles or the Giants lose a game.
Yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to part two of our UFC 280 betting preview. This is the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 227. Let's send it out to Ahmed Vert, who's making a return on this fight card. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then, you know, do the research, bro. Do the research. Thank you for coming to the show. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, the chalky half. Even though I did pick a dog last episode that my dog happy co-conspirator here, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, did not go in on. So who knows? Maybe I've changed my ways. Didn't work for me last event, but maybe it will this week. This week, as I said off the top, is we're talking about UFC 280. We covered the prelims last episode. If you missed that, make sure you go back and get in on that. There's 8 fights in the prelims, and we got picks for all of them for you. We even disagree in a couple of them. So make sure you listen to that. We are up to, as I said, up to the main card portion of UFC 280, which is a stacked main card, not a dud in the batch. And we'll also give you our recommended plays and our parlay at the end, a big fat 2-fight parlay, which will win you lots and lots of money. I say we are parlay because it's our show, but it's really Gumby's parlay. So let's bring him in and let him talk. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
It's not just my parlay. It's not just your parlay. It's the people's parlay. It's the super fan John Hungry Man parlay. Yes. It's everybody's parlay.
It is. It's the people's parlay. It is true. All right, UFC 280 stacked. 2 title fights, and then basically I say 3 de facto number one contender fights. Do you think all 3 of them are number one contender fights? I guess it probably depends on who wins them, right?
I think 2 of them are, and yeah. I think one of them, based on something Dana White just said, is undoubtedly not. So sadly, Beneil Dariush versus Matthews Gamrot, which probably should be a number one contender fight.
Yep.
Like, if we're being honest, like, the winner of that is probably the most deserving for a title shot, is going to get passed up for Alexander Volkanovski. So instead, we're going to see the winner of that probably against a Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier type, and then they're gonna have to fight one more time for their rightful shot.
Dana White says it makes sense. Volkanovski next, but why does it make sense, Dan? Lightweight has plenty of contenders. Featherweight has plenty of contenders. Why do we have to have someone switch?
Real quick question. I'm gonna press you on this one. Does featherweight have tons?
No, not featherweight. That's after those words came out of my mouth. I kind of wanted to backtrack. No, lightweight is jam packed though.
Yeah, I and I'll say this: lightweight is jam packed, but like, so Dariush and Gamrot seem to be like the most obvious, like, waiting in the wings type, right? But they're actually not all that high up in the rankings, largely because there's a bunch of guys towards the top who haven't. Aren't really willing to fight a Beneil Dariush type. Like, right now, Beneil Dariush is number 6. Matthews Gamrot's number 9. So, you know, like if one of those two were to beat a Dustin Poirier or a Justin Gaethje or a Michael Chandler, guys in the top 5, sure, we'd be talking about them right away. But both of these guys are outside of the top 5, and that kind of just feels like, hey, maybe you're right. Maybe it is time to get one of whoever wins that fight a chance against Poirier or let's say Gaethje and give Volkanovski his shot. Because Volkanovski has largely cleaned out that division, right? He beat the hell out of Max Holloway. I don't feel good about Yair Rodriguez enough to give him another shot. Nope. You know, he just beat Ortega. You know, I guess is Josh Emmett supposed to fight Yair Rodriguez, or did I make that up in my head?
It sounds like something that's going to happen. Yeah, it does sound. I think that is happening.
And is it for an interim title?
No, not at this point. I don't think.
Could it be? Well, I swear I remember
for sure. Do we?
I swear I remember hearing that booked, and now I'm looking at Tapology and it's not on either of their pages. So like maybe I dreamed it, but like that would be a good fight. We already have Calvin Kattar versus Arnold Allen. Make that a 4-person tournament. Yair versus Emmett, Kattar versus Allen. The winners of those square off, and that gives us time to get, first of all, the number one contender actually out of all of it, and it gives us time to get Volkanovski his title shot as well. So yeah, I think it's actually a reasonable super fight, but that may also be because I love Alexander Volkanovski and want to see him fight for as many titles as he can.
Yeah, no, I do too. As a fan, I don't mind seeing him fight for that for sure. Just think it's and then if he wins, it causes even more problems because you have him at the top of two divisions. Yeah, so it's problems for anybody who's in those divisions. Open to get a title shot anytime soon. That's all. So anyhow, he may get a title shot this weekend. For all we know, someone may not make weight. You never know. Volkanovski is the backup for the main event this week. So all right, let's get cracking on that after I tell you about WynnBET. Of course, you're all used to me telling you about WynnBET. I'm going to tell you about it again. Win, just in case you haven't joined yet. Thinking of joining WynnBET, now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get $100 free bet. Look and join the WynnBET Biggest Winners Club. Whoever hits the biggest parlay on WynnBET, odds-wise, gets a $1,000 free bet. Last week's winner of the Biggest Winners Club was a New York bettor who hit a plus 15,066 parlay on all live money lines. He or she wagered $110.40. They won $16,743.56. WynnBET, truly hashtag degens only. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, on to the big main card, UFC 280. It's going down in the Etihad Arena, Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, this Saturday. Not Saturday night, though. No, it is. Well, it depends what part of the world you live in. Maybe it's Saturday night where you're listening to this. We are worldwide here, as I have to remember that. Eastern time zone, where I'm living in and where Gumby's living in, where the studios, the MMA Gambling Podcast studios are, 2 p.m. Eastern start time for a pay-per-view. How beautiful is that?
Yeah, I love it. I'm a big fan.
Will your children let you watch it, though?
I'm more concerned about my wife letting me watch it because it is her birthday.
Oh, really? Happy birthday to blank Vreeland. I won't give her name out and dox her. Well, that is exciting times, Dan. What are you guys doing?
I'm gonna try to watch a pay-per-view from the front seat of a car on the way to a restaurant.
Okay, I was gonna say you're gonna try to, while she takes care of the kids, you're gonna try to watch a pay-per-view. Interesting, very interesting. Well, happy birthday to Mrs. Vreeland. All right, let's tell you who's fighting on her special day. We're gonna start with women's flyweights, Caitlin Chookagian versus Manon Fiorot, one of our favorites on this podcast. Chookagian, the blonde fighter, 18-4, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out twice. 11-4 in the UFC. She won 4 straight fights. She was the CFFC champ twice. I think 2 weight classes, actually. Used to fight at bantamweight. Used to fight at strawweight, as I blank here. 2 inches of height, 3 inches of reach on Fiorot. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.3 strikes per minute. Plus 170 the number on her. Manon, the beast, Fiorot. 9-1 with 6 knockouts. She's never been finished in a fight. 4-0 in the UFC. She's won 9 straight fights after losing her debut, and she lost 2 in her debut.
I think I
stumped you on this before. It's a known fighter.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I do remember
Irish fighter in Bellator.
Oh, is it? Is it Leah McCourt?
Yes, Leah McCourt. She lost her. That's a tough.
She Northern Irish.
We're gonna start that again, are we?
Yeah, I think she's Northern Irish.
She is Northern Irish.
I mean, that's Irish, but not Irish Irish.
Yes. Yes. So she's not lost since losing to Leah McCourt. She's got multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
2 years younger than Chookagian. Striking stats in her favor. She's 1.4 times more active landing strikes. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 4.08 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are as well in Fiorot's favor, -205. I usually kick off the main card. Obviously, I'm going with Fiorot the Beast. She's one of our favorites here. Chookagian's going to be trying to make it look like a cardio kickboxing fight, and Fiorot's going to try to punch her head off, kick her head off. So, yeah, Fiorot promises that this she will win, and this will not be a boring fight. So I trust her. She's just going to be too powerful with the striking. Fiorot is my pick here.
Do you want to hear an underrated way I actually think Manon Fiorot is going to win this fight?
Submission?
She's going to put out of her on the ground. I really, truly do believe that. I think people sleep on how good the wrestling of Manon Fiorot is. And, I mean, she scored in her 4 UFC bouts combined, she scored 6 takedowns. She's gotten at least 1 takedown in every single one of her fights. She averages 2 takedowns a fight based on cage time, right? Like per 15 minutes, she averages 1.91 takedowns. So she's scoring takedowns every 7.5 minutes, roughly. She scores a takedown. And the thing about Caitlin Chookagian too, that we can always remember about her being on the mat. First of all, she gives up tons of takedowns. She gave up 3 to Amanda Ribas and just recently won that fight. She gave up 2 to Jessica Andrade. She gave up 3 to Valentina when Valentina beat the hell out of her. She gave up 3 to Joanne Wood in a fight that I really thought she had lost until she had technically somehow won it by yelling "Hia" a whole bunch of times. She lost to Liz Carmouche by being out wrestled. Like, this is somebody who gives up takedowns. And the problem with the way that she gives up takedowns too is she has so much faith in her grappling abilities, and for good reason. She works with John Donaher, and she works in the Blue Basement with it used to be the Blue Basement with John Donaher. He's down in Texas now, I think. But like, she used to work with John Donaher. She does still work with Team Henzo Gracie in the Blue Basement. She loves her submission game and she believes in it, but that often leads to being on her back too long, and it's cost her fights in the past. I think Manon Fiorot has the ability to go toe-to-toe with her in the striking and could win that fight. But I also think her advantage, if it hits the mat, and her advantage in the wrestling is so wide that why not use that? Why not use that extra aspect of her game? The other thing about that is Manon Fiorot has said in the past, I believe that I need a couple more fights to show what I'm capable of, to work on things, to show I'm ready for Valentina Shevchenko. What's a better way to show you're ready than to show a skill set that people don't actually believe you have? So I'm saying Fiorot is going to win this fight, and I'm going to say watch out for her ground game, because I think that's the difference maker here.
Fiorot, we love Manon Fiorot. Yeah, she's going to. Chookagian gets too much crap. She seems to be the butt of everyone's joke, and everyone seems to
dislike her
for some reason, even though she's a nice person and she's very, very successful. But yeah, she's a points fighter. I guess that's the reason why.
I think it's the point fighter thing. I think people love to poke fun at the kiosk when she's throwing strikes like that. Yes. That obviously gets a lot of heat, but I'm right there with you. I've done an interview with Caitlin Chookagian. She's great. She's a fun interview. She's a nice person. And yeah, like, I still here am rooting for Fiorot, and I think Fiorot's got a lot of advantages in this fight.
Kia, for sure. All right, moving on, lightweights. So that definitely is a number one contender fight, you would think. I think either, despite who wins, even if Chookagian wins, I can see her getting another title shot, especially if she beats Fiorot. So I think that one's definitely a number one contender fight. Yeah, this one, as Dan mentioned, the next fight should be, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be. Lightweights, Benil Dariush versus Matias Gamrot. I'm going to tell you about Dariush first once I get my spreadsheet here. He's 21-4-1, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. been knocked out three times, submitted once, 15-4-1 in the UFC. He's won seven straight fights. He's not lost a fight since November of 2018. So we're coming up on 4 years of him being undefeated. He's not fought since May of 2021. He's missed weight in the past. Something to keep an eye on here. Was a regional champion. 2009, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. He also is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. 2 inches of reach on Gamrot. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.22 strikes per minute. Plus 165, the number on Dariush. Gamrot, gamer, 21-1 with one no contest. He's got seven knockouts, five submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 4-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut. He's won four straight. Who did he lose to in his debut, Dan? Refresh our memories.
Matches Gamrot lost to, if you call it a loss, he lost to Garam Kutatsaladze, but I don't think he lost the fight. It was a split decision. Scored it for Gamrot. He had a ton of takedowns, a lot of top control time, and for some reason they gave it to Kutatsaladze.
There you go. Okay. He was the KSW champion twice. Was two weight classes, I think. Because he's only lost one fight. So yes, two weight classes he was a champ at. Used to fight at featherweight. That would be the other weight class. 2012 pro MMA debut. ADCC grappling a champion. A year younger than Dariush. He's outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.35 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 200.
So I'm going with Matthews Gamrot. Here's why. First of all, I think he's a better striker than Beneil Dariush. Despite the fact that Beneil Dariush had like two kind of crazy knockouts a couple years ago, the Drakkar Klose one and the Scott Holtzman one, I just don't think he's as good of a striker as Matthews Gamrot. And the other thing is I think while he is an exceptional jiu-jitsu specialist, right? Like he is phenomenal at jiu-jitsu. I just don't see the wrestling there to beat Matthews Gamrot, right? Gamrot went toe to toe with Armand Sakurian, a dude who is, first of all, both hyper athletic and a really great wrestler, right? And not only did he stuff a lot of Armand Sakurian's takedowns, he stuffed all but one. Sakurian shot eight takedowns. He got one takedown. And Gamrot, you know, had six. And granted, he shot a lot more and did a lot less on the feet than Sakurian did. But, like, he got after it with the grappling. And I just think Gamrot is the better wrestler here. So if Gamrot could choose where it goes, I bet he chooses to keep it on the feet and beat him there. And if he doesn't like how it's going on the feet, I think he's got the ability to take it down and stay out of submission trouble. Because like you said, he's an Abu Dhabi. It was a regional Abu Dhabi that he won. He didn't actually win an ADCC, but like he won a regional ADCC qualifying tournament, which you don't do without phenomenal submission defense. And I think he's got that. So I don't think Dariush, who, by the way, hasn't subbed anybody in five fights, and that was Frank Camacho. And I don't think his takedown abilities have the ability to get Gamrot down. So, yeah, I'm going with Gamrot. By the way, here's a fun fact, too. Guess when the last time Beneil Dariush scored half of his takedowns in a fight?
Oh, that's one of the things I was going to say about him. He hasn't really been as active as we would have hoped. He hasn't fought in over a year now. So last time, say 2019,
October 2019 was the last time he scored 50% of his takedowns, and it was against Frank Camacho. So like,
it's not happening here.
Yeah, you got stuffed. He got stuffed a bunch of times against Drakkar Klose and Scott Holtzman. That's a huge alarm, because if you get stuffed by those two guys, you're getting stuffed by Matthews Gamrot.
Yep, Gamrot is my pick as well. I think he's better pretty much everywhere. Better cardio as well. You know, like I said, Dariush kind of seems like he's kind of stalled. Like he had some steam going, but then he's been sitting on the sidelines for so long now. Gamrot really opened a lot of eyes his last fight. So he is my pick as well. No House Advantage is one of my picks as well, as I open up the ad read and tell you about No House Advantage. They're changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick 'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning $250,000 or more in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every day. You can also test your skills versus the house and win 20 times your entry if you hit all your picks. Bet up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up now with promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app on the App Store to get a first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. Remember promo code SGPN. If you're like me and there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school, it's never too late to start with Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons. You can finally cross learning that new language off of your list. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, not computers. The teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. There's so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts and games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/SGP. That's babbel.com/SGP for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. All right, where are we moving to now? Bantamweights, Piotr Jan versus Sean O'Malley. You may know him as Sugar Sean. Let's tell you about him first. He is 15-1 with one no contest, 11 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out once, 7-1 with one no contest in the UFC, 3-0 with one no contest over his last four fights. Last fight was a no contest. He's won his last five. His last five victories have come via knockout or TKO. 1-0 in the contender series. Used to fight at flyweight. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. 1-0 as a pro boxer. He's got 4 inches of height, 5 inches of reach, and he's a year younger than Yan. Striking stats in his favor. He's 1.4 times more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents. Check this out, by 4.27 strikes per minute. So that's very, very, very impressive. Plus 225 is the number on him. Piotr, no mercy. Yan, 16-3, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. He's 8-2 in the UFC. Used to be the champion. He's gone 1-2 over his last three fights. He's gone loss, win, loss. Both losses to Aljamain Sterling. He was the ACB champ before this. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.57 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 280. Give me Yan. Grappling is going to be the name of the game. He's definitely a better grappler than O'Malley. He can really crack on the feet as well. He's no slouch at all in the striking. I'm not sure if he's going to want to get into a striking battle with O'Malley or not. But yeah, his combination of striking, grappling, strength, and experience is going to be too much for O'Malley. At this point in his career, he's never fought anyone close to this level. So give me the chalk.
You know what I think he's going to do to him? I think he's going to rip Sean O'Malley's leg absolutely apart.
Really? Spew all over the place?
Yeah, it's just going to be bone in piles of blood. Because,
oh, boy.
Here's the thing. Piotr Jan, not a dude who's kicked legs a lot in his career. If you like look back, he's, you know, we're talking like 10 to 12 leg kicks per fight in all of his fights. But do you know Sean O'Malley ate 26 leg kicks in that fight with Pedro Munhoz?
I can picture it right now, actually.
Yeah. Do you know how many significant strikes Pedro Munhoz landed in that fight?
How many?
26. So like, it's very clear what the book is on Sean O'Malley, right? Like, he lost to Marlon Vera largely because of leg kicks. He was losing to Pedro Munhoz on some judges' scorecards due to leg kicks. And Piotr Jan just happens to be one of the smartest fighters in the UFC. You know, like, his game planning is impeccable. I love the way that he changes his game plan based on who he's fighting. I think he's going to come in there. I think he's going to rip Sean O'Malley's legs apart early in the fight. And if it's working to the point where it slows O'Malley down and makes it so O'Malley can't throw any power strikes, then he'll get more aggressive. And if it doesn't work that way and it just softens him up a little bit, then he hits the takedowns on legs that can't defend him. So I think Piotr Jan is going to get Sean O'Malley out of there in either the second or the third round after he's beat him up with leg kicks or ground and pound or whatever it is.
Okay, Dan promises limbs being ripped off in blood. Lucky this is on the pay-per-view portion, because I'm not sure if ESPN will want to air that. So, okay.
ESPN aired the replay of Tua Tagovailoa getting his brain destroyed a couple of times, and they zoomed in on his hands all like frozen up. So I feel like they can deal with Sean O'Malley's leg after this fight.
All right. I know it's going to end up on your phone, that's for sure. All right. Co-main event, a title fight. Not a vacant title, a real title. Aljamain Sterling, the aforementioned Aljamain Sterling, will be defending his title against TJ Dillashaw. the former champions. So we have three current or former bantamweight champions on this card in back-to-back fights. The challenger first, Dillashaw, 17-4, 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out twice, 13-4 in the UFC. He's 5-1 over his last 6. He did win his last fight. That was back in July of 2021. As I said, used to be the champion. He was on the shelf for 2 years, from like 2019 to 2021 or so. Oh, yes, that's exactly when it was, due to failed drug tests. He was 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter before losing in the final. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. More active landing strikes than Sterling. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.99 strikes per minute. Very nice number there. Grappling stats in his favor as well, plus 150. The champ, Aljamain Funk Master Sterling. Aljo, you can call him as well if you like. He's 21-3, 2 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 13-3 in the UFC. He is the champion. He's won 7 straight fights. He was the CFFC and Ring of Combat champion before this. His mantle is chock full of belts as well. He used to fight up at featherweight. 2011 was his pro MMA debut. He's got 1 inch of height, 4 inches reach on Dillashaw. He's also 3 years younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by plus 2.32 strikes per minute, so even better than Dillashaw. Minus 180, the number on the champion.
You know, I have both a mantle and a belt, and my belt's not on my mantle.
Really? What's your belt for? Grappling?
Yeah, I want an expert division of a tournament around me once. Yeah, and I got a belt, which is pretty cool. Everybody, as a kid, you always want a championship ring and a belt.
Yeah, of course.
Those are the two things you want, and I got one of one of each for various things. But it's not on my mantle. Weirdly enough,
is it gonna go in your mantle now?
I'm thinking about it. My mantle is right here next to where I'm recording.
Yeah,
I could put it right here, but anyway, that's off topic. I'm taking Aljamain Sterling here, and here's why I'm taking Aljamain Sterling. First of all, I think TJ Dillashaw lost to Corey Sandhagen. I do not think he beat Corey Sandhagen. And in addition to thinking that he lost to Corey Sandhagen, why is this fight taking so long to be rebooked? You know, like this has been, it's been 16 months since he fought Corey Sandhagen. Do you remember why it's taken so long for TJ Dillashaw to fight again?
I can't remember.
Corey Sandhagen destroyed his knee with a submission attack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? I thought he was just waiting for a... See, I forgot that.
No, yeah. He got his knee destroyed by Corey Sandhagen, who went for a submission and was deep enough on it to nearly bust TJ Dillashaw's leg. And with all that being said, he's about to fight somebody who is way better at jiu-jitsu than Corey Sandhagen is. Right, way better at jiu-jitsu than Corey Sandhagen. And I'll also say this, if you go back and you look at all of the people that Dillashaw has fought, he's really never fought somebody ever who both has the wrestling credentials that Aljamain Sterling does and the jiu-jitsu credentials, right? Like you can go back and you can look, okay, he fought Dominick Cruz. Dominick Cruz has got like one submission in his whole career. He's a great wrestler, but not much for jiu-jitsu. He also fought Joe Soto, a guy who's fought in EBIs and all kinds of grappling competitions. Great black belt, but he's got none of the wrestling, right? Like he's got none of the wrestling that goes along with that. And he had none of the striking to offer Dillashaw. I was on short notice, all kinds of things. He's fought guys with both of the credentials, but never all of it together. And maybe the closest person to putting it all together was Corey Sandhagen, who nearly busted the dude's knee. So I actually think Aljamain Sterling here is going to have a big advantage on the mat in a way that we've never seen TJ Dillashaw get manhandled. And I think he's going to control him there the entire fight and possibly even give him his first submission loss.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm agreeing with a lot of that. I'm picking Sterling as well. Are we just picking against Dillashaw because he's so unlikable, though?
He is really unlikable. But if you've been on the internet recently too, Aljamain Sterling, according to many, is slowly becoming unlikable as well. So
it's true.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you spend enough time on the Twitter.com, you'll hate just about everybody other than Jillian DeCourcy.
Yeah, there you go. Very true. All right. Will we agree on the main event? Let's see. This is for the vacant lightweight championship, Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev. And we're going to tell you about Dobronx first. Charles Oliveira, the former champ who lost his belt on the scale his last fight. He's 33-8 with 1 no contest, 9 knockouts, 21 submissions on his resume. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 3 times, 21-8 with 1 no contest in the UFC. Used to be the champion, as I said. He's won 11 straight fights. He's not lost his fight since December of 2017, so he's on quite a roll. He's won 3 straight fights via finish. He's missed weight 4 times, though. including his last fight. He used to fight at featherweight. He used to fight at welterweight. 2008 was his pro MMA debut. 4 inches reach on Makhachev. He's 1.6 times more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.35 strikes per minute, plus 160, the number on the former champ. Islam Makhachev, 22-1, 4 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 11-1 in the UFC. He's won 10 straight fights. He's not lost a fight since October of 2015. So he's on an even bigger roll time-wise than Oliveira. He's won 4 straight fights via finish. 2010 was his debut in MMA, 2 years younger than Oliveira. Striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.43 strikes per minute. Grappling stats as well in his favor. Minus 195 for Makhachev. I'm going to do it. I'm pulling the trigger on the big underdog, former champ Charles Oliveira. He's made me a believer over this run. He's no longer the guy who would quit in fights when the going got tough. He's the opposite of that. He's the guy who grinds out victories even when he's getting rocked or things are not going his way. I think he's a better striker than Makhachev. He's fought a lot of tough wrestlers and beat them in the past, albeit none of them as good as Makhachev, but he has beaten wrestlers before, and his grappling and submission skills are second to none. So even if you do get him on the ground, you're not safe either. So I'm willing to roll the dice on a big dog here. Give me the former champ at plus 160. I think Makhachev's unfairly getting the Khabib rub. Everyone's just assuming he's the second coming of Khabib, and I'm not sold on that quite yet.
Do you know what the most obvious proof is that he's not the second coming of Khabib?
What?
I want you to go back to his fight with Davi Hamosh, which you might not remember that he ever
a long time ago.
Fought Davi Hamosh. It was a little while ago. He fought Davi Hamosh. It actually wasn't as long ago as you think. It was about 2 years or 3 years ago. It was in 2019, okay. In September of 2019. He won a unanimous decision against Davi Hamosh. 3-round decision. Do you know how many takedowns he attempted in a fight against Davi Hamosh?
23.
One.
There you go.
He attempted one takedown against Davi Hamosh. He was not successful. What does that tell me in that fight? Islam Makhachev is not super confident in his defensive jiu-jitsu. He is not super confident that a jiu-jitsu world champion like Davi Hamosh won't take his neck home with him. And in those cases, he'd rather just point fight on the feet. He'd rather just throw hands because he's not super confident in the ground. I want you to imagine a situation where Khabib Nurmagomedov didn't attempt more than one takedown, failed on his first takedown attempt, and was like, you know what? I'm cool. I don't want to be on the ground with this guy. Right. Because that is the huge difference between these two, is that one of them goes to the ground when he's sure he wants to be on the ground with somebody. The other one goes to the ground no matter what, takes a guy down no matter what. And some of it, hey, maybe Islam's got just like a little bit more faith in his hands than Khabib did, but he is not a polished boxer. Right. Like in that fight with Davi Hamosh, he landed 43 strikes in 15 minutes. You know, like that's a low number. He's landed a punch less than, you know, what is that? Less than 3 a minute. That's ugly. And, you know, for me, the fact that he knows he doesn't want to be on the ground with Davi Hamosh, why would you then only a few years later want to be on the ground with Charles Oliveira, a dude who has applied those jiu-jitsu skills so much better to MMA? And I'll tell you this, if he doesn't want to be on the ground with Charles Oliveira, I got some bad news for him, because he's going to be outmatched on the feet. Charles Oliveira has got a great chin. Charles Oliveira is a guy who has stood toe-to-toe with Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler, Dustin Poirier, and he's hurt all of them. And that, to me, is the difference maker here. I think Charles Oliveira is going to have a massive advantage on the feet. I think if it does hit the ground, I think he's going to absolutely surprise Makhachev with what he's able to do with him on the mat. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Charlie Olive takes him down, because we've seen that before. Makhachev gave up a takedown to Armin Sakurian. He gave up one to Thiago Moises. He could give up one to Charles Oliveira. And let me tell you something. This dude does not want to be on his back against Charles Oliveira. So, yeah, give me Charles Oliveira. I think he gets it done. And I'm going to throw this out there. I think he gets it done inside distance.
Whoa. This is no fun, though. You're stealing. You're copying my big underdog pick, Dan. No fun. Actually, we copied each other's picks for this whole main card. We both have Oliveira, Sterling, Yan, Gamrot, Fierro. So that is our picks for just the straight-up money line picks. We're going to get you some recommended plays in the sec after I tell you about Fubo TV. If you watch football, you need Fubo TV. FuboTV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone Plus games in 4K at no extra charge. Over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, there's no contract, no commitment. You can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try FuboTV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. And last but not least, OddsTrader. What is OddsTrader, you may ask? OddsTrader is a place to compare odds from all major sportsbooks. You also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sportsbooks to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. OddsTrader, the number one site for all your game day bets. Okay, this is the part of the show where we do our recommended plays. Dan usually gets crazy with his, and I'm super conservative with mine, and I'm ahead of him, but not by a huge amount. He can still catch up. So let's see what he goes with today. We're going to start with the Gumby man. Go ahead.
I'm going to be a little bit more conservative than I was last time. Okay. I got a little over my skis last week. So this week, I'm going to start with the one I'm most confident in. I'm going to take Abubakar Nurmagomedov over Gadzi Omar Gadzaev. I believe we put that at -165.
Yeah,
correct. I'm going to take $45 on that one. I think he gets that one done.
Give me half of my bankroll, $50 on the beast, Menon Fiorot -205. She's getting the job done here. No problem. Probably be a finish, but I try not to get fancy with props and stuff on recommended plays. I try to give you guys safe plays. So put all your money on Menon Fiorot to win.
Chokagian's pretty hard to finish too. I think that's probably a smart play. She's lost four times.
Twice.
Twice via knockout, and it was in Draj and Shevchenko. So if she winds up in that same camp, we're really talking about Firo being the beast that her nickname states she is. For my next pick, I'm going to take Kai Bohio. We put him at -200, I believe. Is that what we said?
Let me see. Mine is 230. I'm sorry.
Ooh, 230. That number has changed, by the way. That number's changed, by the way. So if you are hearing this, you can get a better price than that. I'll play Jeff's game.
Go get
it. I'll play Jeff's game, and I'll take -230, but I'm going to take him for $40.
That's what it was when we recorded the last show, dude.
Yeah.
$40. You're going big on your first two picks there. Okay.
Yeah. I'm seeing just for the record too, for most people looking, he did open at -240 and or 250 in some places. He's down to -200 in a lot of places. So if you wait just a little bit longer, Muradov might be getting that, Eastern European sounding name rub here, much like a lot of the other guys are. Wait just a little while longer. See if that number comes down on Kai Bohio, because you might be able to get that in the 100s. And right then you're stealing money from the books.
Stealing. That's what we're here for. Give me 30 under Magomedov money line. Go ahead.
Right. So that was -165, yep. 30. Nurmagomedov. All right. So I'm down to just $15. I'm going to use a couple of props here to try to hit it big here. My first one, I'm going to take Lucas Almeida, which I already said I was going to take him over Zabir Atukugov. I'm going to take him by knockout, though. His knockout prop right now, +650, wow. Which I think is – yeah, that's a big – that's a pretty big spot. And I think if he wins this fight, which we both predicted him to, spoiler alert, you can go back and listen to the prelim episode. If he wins this fight, I think that's how he does it. So I'm seeing it at +650 right now. Give me that.
All right. How much you want on that? 10?
I'll put $10 on that one. Yeah.
Okay. My last pick, $20, Carol Hosa, money line. I told you I'm boring.
All right. And
you got
and
$5 left.
What was that? -330?
245. It's not that bad, actually. It's a decent win.
That one's not too bad. And that one's going up, by the way. So get on that one as quickly as you can. My last one, I'm gonna take Charles Oliveira in either the third or the fourth round. Is a prop I saw out there. Just in the third or the fourth round. Okay. Could be a submission, could be a knockout, but I think a lot of times he's been finishing fights quick. He's been going in there and getting people right out of there, and it's because they're super aggressive striker types and he gets them to tire themselves out. I don't think Islam Makhachev is going to fight that kind of fight where he can take advantage of it, but I do think he's going to slowly wear him down and he's going to get to his neck as the fight progresses. If he finishes it in either the third or the fourth round, you can find that at +1,000.
Wow, that's so five, be such a huge payday for you.
So $5 on that, I think it's worth the dabble.
All right. So Gumby, he's got Nurmagomedov, money line. Bahia, money line. Almeida via KO. Oliveira, third or fourth round. Jeff, Boring, Chalks, Fox. Fiorot, money line. Nurmagomedov, money line. Rosa, money line. Boom. That's it. We did it. But we're not done. Ho ho, no. Superfan Jong brought something to our attention that we that there's a Road to UFC event this Sunday.
You didn't let me do my Superfan Jong parlay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Get out of here, my man.
All right, fine. Go ahead. We have a Hungry Man Jong Superfan parlay coming up as I'm trying to rush us out of here.
Yeah, come on. All right. So I mentioned before, I think Piotr Jan is going to chew up Sean O'Malley and get the KO. That KO prop right now is +285. And I've seen it's fluctuated up and down. You're going to find it at different numbers of the books, but the one I'm seeing right now, +285, Piotr Jan by KO. And I'm going to take Kai Bohio inside the distance. I don't know if he's going to get the ground and pound finish or the rear naked choke finish, but it's +187 inside the distance. If you pair Jan by KO and Bohio inside the distance, that's +1,005.
All right. So Jan KO, Bohio inside the distance, +1,005. Now can I rush us out of here?
Yeah, now get us the hell out of here.
All right. What I was trying to say is we have another episode that's going to come into your ears. How about we drop it? Might as well drop it Friday. We're going to give you episodes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. And Sunday, Monday, we already did too. So there's a Road to UFC event coming up, a continuation of the Road to UFC. You may have remembered earlier in the year. They're doing a little tournament with Asian fighters. Kind of like a contender series, but a tournament style. So they're doing the semifinals this weekend in Abu Dhabi, Saturday night / Sunday, early Sunday morning, like overnight, 2 a.m. Eastern time or something like that. So we're going to give you picks for that. Thank you, Superfan Jong, for bringing that to our attention. So we're going to drop you a bonus episode. It'll be in yours probably on Friday, as I said. So we'll give you more winning picks there. So in the meantime, make sure you get in our Discord. It's lots of fun. Get in there. No matter what sport you're into, we got it all in sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord as well. On our site, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Read all our lovely articles on every sport. Listen to all our podcasts as well. Make sure you subscribe to our official feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed. You'd be a real buddy if you can listen to us on there. Help us bump the numbers up. Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast is out there as we speak. Make sure you listen to this week's episode. Follow us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account. His account is Gumby Vreeland. My account is Jeff Fox Writer. And get in my UFC 280 pick-up contest on my MMA newsletter / website. Would be moneymma.substack.com. Boom. But we'll say goodbye, but it's not farewell. We will be back, as I said, in your ears very, very soon. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Until then, I will remain the blonde fighter. No, the balding podcaster, Jeff Fox. My co-host will remain Achmet Vert. Biggest fan, Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you on Friday. Bye.